If I may, Chairperson, the acting provincial head sent her apology. She's not feeling well from the Gauteng province. Thank you very much.
Who is the acting Gauteng head?
The acting provincial head of Gauteng is not available due to illness.
Maybach, Nicolas Maybach, and you will go to present that.
The minister will start to introduce the vice president from the group. Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to you and all the members. Greetings to the Mashawo. And greetings to officials that are here on both presentations and around water for the presentation that is here. Let me just make some of my remarks on how to cover the board, and thereafter, Mr. Bosch will remain to represent the board to the end. Now, firstly, Chair of the Portfolio Committee, we feel very small as a ministry when it comes to reporting on Giyani Water, which is normally referred to in the department as the Nandoni Dami Water Scheme or Pipeline. The reason why we feel small, one is that this project was supposed to have been completed, I think some 2 or 3 years ago, and long before we came to the department. Two is the amount of money that has been spent on the project. Three, the investigations that have been launched, particularly by SIU, on the going wrongs that have since accompanied this project, almost from the beginning. And the fourth, which is the last one, the fact that people still don't have water as they were supposed to have had by this time, both in Makalamlela and down in Mupani, the 55 villages. However, this is the situation that we found when we got deployed there, or appointed by the president on 5-8 August last year. The situation is not exactly similar in the Vaal, with the Vaal project, but it doesn't differ much. One, we also feel similarly small, because there's been two appointments prior to the status quo now. At some point, the department appointed a company called Erwar, or Erwar, and then they did the work for 12 months, they were out, and then the army was appointed, they then did what they did, and then they're out. And then we then have since appointed the Rand Water to do the work. From where we see progress. Rand Water and Mashaba will deal with the matter later on. Now, they both these projects represent the actual phase of ourselves that we are now cleaning up, shaping up, and correcting, and were determined to change both completely and get them back from where they were in terms of the end. And it's going to be a long haul with regard to the valve. We're having to complete everything in terms of removal of sewer and then rehabilitating and refurbishing the infrastructure there, and then go to the Vaal and do the cleanup. Let me then go to Giyani, but in no detail at all. When we got in, the project was at a standstill from a number of aspects. One, communication and relations between the department and the local Amakhosi and community, or traditional leadership and their communities around Ndoni has broken completely to a point where it led to the complete stoppage of the project. Down in Mopane, there were two communities that also brought the project to a standstill, not allowing anybody to get into the site, the sites of the project or the pipeline. We then set out to correct that situation on both situations, and we did that with success. We started around Ndoni with the process of finalizing whatever arrangement had been made when people were relocated to allow the dam project to go on, and we are completing that process, and we have the cooperation of the local traditional leadership, we have their understanding and the local community. Then having done that, we had to map out how the project would then unfold. We then, according to the implementing agent, we were told that we needed to facilitate smooth payment processes between them and their contractors on one hand, the professional consultants and the contractor on one hand, and then on the other, we needed to facilitate the finalization of the project down to Mopane. So we engaged on both around November, December last year, and we resolved what we believed were the problems as cited by the implementing agent, the Belna. The third matter was for us to then monitor their progress as we were expecting. And I regret to say there was none to be forthcoming up until we decided to intervene. And on intervening, we found out that there were still basic hitches that had not been elaborated on by Lebelle, except that they hinted on bad relations between the contractor and the consultants. We intervened on that and we got them going. But the main issue was because of polarization of the plan of the pipeline and delivering water. There were various concepts that they were still working on when we convened the meeting earlier this year. And we expressed our displeasure, complete displeasure, and then asked the DG to, within a day, engage them and come back with something credible to present to us, and indeed that has happened. Now, we are happy that we are not envisaging any other hitch from community sides, no hitch from contracting both consultants and the service provider in the form of a contractor, although there are issues of capacity, but we have a way of intervening on that and making sure the project gets underway fully blown capacity and speed. Sticking with the end of the year as our delivery date, but we still want an earlier date once they start working in accordance with the plan that we laid out. these are the latest changes and latest plans that we have approved, and we surely will be presenting on that. That includes also what will happen when WhatsApp gets down to Mopani, because there are two plants there, water treatment plants. One old one supposed to be new, but which was launched in 2014 and worked for 3 months, or functioned for 3 months, and then it got the funds. We've repeatedly gone there up to a point where we demanded of, because it was Mopani plants, not our plants, but we said it's part of our pipeline, and this is casting a negative image on ourselves. And we've since agreed with them that there will be one plant that will be refurbished, the old one, and it will cater for the needs of people of Mopani. So water will arrive there, but platform that we had then distributed. We also have overlapped to reticulation, that is getting to establish a technical committee, which will include that of his province and then Mopani, and then they start designing the reticulation plans, and we'll get to fund that so that by the time water gets there, plans are ready for reticulation after treatment of water and plants. Now, Mushodi will then do the presentation. On the side of the valve, I've already given an outline. Mashabu will then add on gaps after or just overall. At the political side, in particular, facilitating all the misunderstanding and the fights that has happened and overshadowed the actual work in the bar. So on both, we intervene politically, because on this other side, for instance, we've agreed with the mayor of Mopani and remember that we have to meet at a political platform. All of ourselves, which we'll be doing in a month, and then below us there will be the technical committee that I've spoken about, and then both the sisters can then allow their the functionaries to do what needs to be done to ensure that people get water finance. The same applies to the valve. There's a political structure headed by Mashlova and Maile, and facilitating the between all the states or among all the stakeholders there, allowing the smooth flow of work uninterrupted. But all we want to assure the committee about is that on both their projects, we regard them as a very important projects for the recipients of these services, but also we regard them as important in terms of the never repeats, that there are things that we have learned and that they must never ever be repeated whenever we conceptualize sources of this nature. And we will pursue all corruption-related issues relentlessly and follow them up to their completion with consequences. At this stage, I will then request that Mushodi make a presentation on Nandoni Dami after the end. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes, Madam, we are ready.
Mushodi, you can go on with your presentation.
thank you, Minister.
Is it because I text Madam Mushodi that you can speak?
No, Chairperson. I understand that Mushodi and Mushodi, they sound very similar. But I am Mushodi.
Okay.
Yes. So I I'll go directly into the presentation and echo obviously what the minister said, that with that project a need to do a continuous assessment on the project, the path of the project, where they were able to really deliver the commitments on government. And this presentation is essentially the epitome of having all of these various problems on the project and trying to tie them all together. And because in some instances, there were side issues that ended up affecting the progress on the project. So the content of the presentation, I'll give an introduction and background just so that we have a similar frame of reference, and then the status at this point in time, and then go a little bit into the introspection that we've done in terms of planning and implementation, what we found out the issues are, and the lack of progress, and then take you through briefly to the final technical solution that we have for the project, and then as well as the schedule of the work packages and when we plan to complete. And then lastly, I'll also touch on what Minister was referring to as the soured relationship with some of the communities on some side issues which inadvertently affected the progress on the project. So just very quickly, I think to everyone's knowledge now that the department intervened in 2014 with this project with an intention to address water service challenges by communities in Kiani, and those who were directors, which warranted Lebel and Northern Water to immediately intervene. And it was mainly premised on the failure of the infrastructure that was existing there, but perpetuated by drought conditions that affected both Nsami and Middle Lutaba Dam. So the intervention included refurbishment of the existing infrastructure with an aim of particularly supplying DJP water to Nsami Hospital. Then there was a construction of an additional module of 1.5 megaliters going water treatment plant. Borehole to the 55 villages, and replacement of some supply bulk lines to these 55 villages, about 355 kilometers. And this was really the intention of the project. Obviously, also public knowledge now that there was a lot of irregularities on the appointments of some of the PSPs, and the value for money was not really realized. Price inflation and so on. So in 2019, the contract with the professional service provider, who was a turnkey service provider, LTE, was terminated by the Bell Northern Water, with the view that the department would come in the interim as an engineer whilst they look for another engineer. And then the contractors were also terminated, with the exception of Paranani, which was kept for the Nandoni to Nsami pipeline. And then the department construction unit will then the bulk line in Kiani, what we call Kiani Water Service. So we're now reporting on this project as one complete project, including the additional project which hampered the progress. So at that stage when there was a shift from LTE to the department, another engineer, it was reported that the pipeline from Nandoni was 50% and the works in Kiani were 92%. This was not true. We did some investigations and the actual progress was 35% versus 50% and 48% against 92%. And as we speak, since 2019, that pipeline is about 35% to 38%. And the work which was reported to be funded at 48% is now 58%. It is progress, but at that stage, it's clearly visible that there's serious problems in implementation. And we then had to do a deep dive to try and understand why are these issues not being resolved. As I said, this presentation covers how the issues were resolved and then the way forward in terms of keeping to the commitment of delivering the project. So from the onset, the water resource planning for this project was inadequate. Typically with such a project, you would expect that there's a detailed reconciliation study that's done to assess the raw water sources that are available and versus what the project aims to deliver clean water to. So this wasn't done. And it's because it was done under emergency. But nonetheless, as Minister said, it's a lesson for us that even in the case of emergency, these types of studies, you need to do them for long-term sustainability. So as a result of the planning being very poor and inadequate, the conceptual design of the project as was being implemented was not optimal or efficient in terms of long-term water resource sustainability. And it then resulted in some indecision when the engineers were busy designing, because then that issue crept up to say, but how do you design something of this capacity? What about long-term water sustainability? The project management planning was also inadequate in the sense that the necessary permissions and the access that you need from the landowner was also not done, and it ended up delaying the project. And essentially, the old PSC allowed pipelines to be laid and paid in full without being better tested, and this is one of the main causes for revising the percentage from 92% to 48%, because you can't really commission a pipeline if you haven't special tested. The contractors that were then on the ground, they were appointed on the basis of design, and when they requested these designs, they were not ready, which added to obviously some delays. But importantly also, the other end of the value chain, is Mokane District Municipality. They were not properly onboarded into the project so that the bulk work, when it's completed, results in people getting water in their yards or in their houses. As a result, there isn't any synchronization. There wasn't any synchronization between the secondary utilities. To make matters worse, the decisions that were needed to be done by Lepende as an experienced agent, they were not done in a timely manner, especially regarding dealing with service providers and contractors where there are disputes or where there were disputes in terms of how to proceed. Invariably, you then have a lot of uncertainties. You are likely to encounter a lot of disputes, and the implementing agent is supposed to be have the capacity to be able to make those decisions to resolve those disputes. And the department, to some extent, has been lacking also in making sure that proper oversight is given to Lepende, because the fact stops with us. In fact, we should have ascertained that there is capacity, not only before implementing the project, but critically during implementation of this project, especially when the FIU investigations were happening and there were all these irregularities which were uncovered, and you had a lot of high staff turnover with the implementing agents, the department should have assessed if they still capacity. So because of all these drawbacks, the contractors ultimately performed very poorly, because it's supposed to be managed by the engineer and the implementing agent. And then it's the domino effect. Our own weaknesses in SDM as a Department of Construction Units were not helpful either. were delaying the project. We do have some delays now, but we put in measures to try and recover from those delays. And generally, the PSP that we had hired, or that we had hired as an engineer, was very poor, and then affected the lack of progress. So with all of these problems, we then got direction from Minister that we have to give confidence that all of these loose ends have to be tied in and incorporated into the project outlook and the timeline to make sure that we don't have any more of these hiccups. So we then involved the planning part to do an adaptive planning study, because it's really planning with what you have on the ground. And as a result of that, we've done some modifications in terms of the final technical solution. And at a high level, it means then that from Landoni to Bami, that pipeline will no longer be carrying clear and treated water, but it will carry raw water, and it will join the existing canal system from Middle Lidaba Dam into Bami Dam. The advantage of this is that it then cuts the amount of time we need for the pipeline, as well as some of the costs, because we will now be discharging into an existing canal instead of going directly to Bami with clean water. There's also a considerable advantage in the long-term sustainability of the cost of this pipeline, because it will be augmenting raw water when it is needed, and you no longer need to transport treated water even when you don't need it. Then it will also mean that the supply to Malamulele will be clean water treated at Landoni Dam, but via an existing Mabambe pump station and reservoir. It's just a matter of tying in this. This then reduces the amount of time also that we need on that pipeline to go all the way to Malamulele. We'll use the existing Mabambe pipeline. And this is a result of really having to look from a planning perspective, functionality gaps and where there's opportunities. And this is one opportunity that we found. Then what we will do, we will still carry on with upgrading the treatment works at Landoni Dam. It's that planning stage to serve the communities along the pipeline to Malamulele, but also other areas in Bembe in the long horizon, because that's essentially what Landoni Dam was designed for. And the support to Mopani will only be when there is a need. I'm going to touch just maybe in the second last point why we're saying only going to be when it's needed. The reason for that is because the existing water treatment works at Mopani Dam is not operating at design capacity. Doing 29 megaliters of water instead of 38, and the plan is to repair it and refurbish so that it at least gives us it's not 38, it's supposed to be 36, so it at least gives us that 7 megaliters that we need. Then there was a treatment plant which was built at in Giani, as well, it only worked for 3 months, and then it stopped working because of some structural issues. We made a determination that that plant can't be left like that. It is money that was used to try and augment and get an additional 7 megaliters. So we've advised that a new module will have to be rebuilt as part of remedying those defects. Then this will give us an additional 7 megaliters as part of the mix for the 65 villages. We think that this will be fine for now because in the not so far future, from a water resource perspective, we will be getting water from Mwamito Dam when it comes online. It is linked to Mifili Dab and Bami Dam. The designs on that dam are completed as we were finalizing the funding for it. So what this essentially means is that from a long-term sustainability point of view, we will have enough water for Giani And when there are those debilitating drafts, we'll have the capacity to tap in from Nandoni as well. So that's the final technical solution from a water resource to the planning perspective. And we shouldn't have any more indecisions as to what type of pump station that we build, what type of pipe, as would have arisen previously. Then, in order to make sure that this water now finally gets to those villages, we've spoken to Mopane District Municipality. We do have a task team. They've appointed some people also to make sure that the reticulation on their part, they access unspent waste money, because in the actual plan, this reticulation was in the outer years of 2026 and 2027, which would have been an indictment on government in general, considering the spotlight of this project, and that it won't be successful if people don't really get water in their land. So we've synchronized those two, and they then in the process of preparing the business plan so that whenever they is unspent money, we don't return it to treasury when there's people who still don't have water. The design that speaks to the final technical solutions are being prepared, and they should be done by the end of April to then effect some of these construction activities, especially around the water treatment plant. But the pipeline, the work will still carry on. So in terms of the schedule for the Giyani water services, I did say that we are at an average of 58%, but there are some pipelines which are quite advanced at 59% and 55% and 62%. The reason the average is so low is because if you don't do any planning, we then get into a situation where we discover that there's a need somewhere, and we then added them a quarter pipeline, but this is the final scope of the project. There's not going to be any more additions or deviations after this. We've also said that the completion date is still December 2022, because these are now applications that we have to accept. We've hired 75 people in the month of February to try and regain some of this lost time, because we had challenges with procurement and material shortages. But we've now appointed a subcontractor to assist the construction and the supply of material of plants, of material and plants. So we're confident that on most of these we should be able to regain those 2 months that we've lost to all of these delays, and still finished by December 2022. But we will be giving a regular progress on that. Then on the line from Nandoni to Nsame itself, it's approximately 3 to 4 months behind the current program. And based on that time that we've lost, it's also not December 2022. But the challenges on this project, it was mainly due to access, because we had some disputes with Wawasi Ramova around Nandoni Dam, in as far as the commitment of the department, owing to the compensation of communities that were removed when Nandoni Dam was developed. There were some payment issues at the LSF there. And it ended up affecting this project because we didn't have access to that site. The contractor didn't have access to that. It's something that, because of it, it should have been quickly resolved. And we did do that. But then, as a result of the timer's decision making that was absent, this project ended up getting stalled as well, even though there's a contractor on site. So we will be recovering work on the project. Then there's the issue of costs, which we also want to say that we finally consolidated everything, that in order to make the project fully functional, we'll probably end up at 4.3 billion rand, revised from the 4.1 billion rand that we thought when we were saying we need 800 million. This is because there's around 19 villages which didn't have reservoirs. All of the bio pipelines would have terminated there. And it's one of the lessons, Chairperson, that we reflected on, that you need to do a detailed planning for it before you send a contractor to site, because such things then happen and you have to vary the scope. So we've added those 19 reservoirs to the scope of work so that we were able to get water out there. Some of them were existing, but they were not nearly of the required capacity to be able to reticulate and handle that much volume of water at a reasonable assurance of supply. Then the minister really assisted us to unlock the challenge that we had in Bembe around Nandoni Dam, where a number of villages there still didn't have water. We worked tirelessly with DM until December to make sure that we pay all of those people that were not paid as a result of being relocated in 2004. We've now paid 1,140 beneficiaries out of 1,352. The others that we are not included is issues of maybe double payment and people that we can no longer really find in the system. But we now have a good working relationship with traditional leadership there. In fact, we've also set money aside to make sure that even in Bembe, around Nandoni, the reticulation that is at street connection, we then upgraded to make sure that we extend the reticulation to household connections. This will be done with some of the project money, where we're plugging in the gap. And Bembe at this stage, the overall progress of reticulation is 68% on the reticulation to street connection. But the project does include elevated tanks in each village, and the overall progress is 39%. But we're moving away completely from that and making sure that that gap we fill it in by complementing their work and getting reticulation up to household connection instead of a community standby. And then lastly, we also said that we've identified that project management was an issue because of the contractual relationships that existed with Lebelle and the contractors. It was going to be far more time consuming and costly to feed contracts to the department and try and get new contracts in place. Instead, we were providing strong project management support to Lebelle and also strengthen its role as an implementing agent. We've assigned an experienced engineer who's the chief director to the project on a full-time basis. And essentially, this will assist the executive management of Lebelle in decision-making on the project in a timeless manner and resolve some of the challenges, because contractually, these issues still have to be resolved by Lebelle. So we've gone in there and make sure that we complement that decision-making capacity. We've also put in an escalation route. We are having deadlocks with the executive management for the Director General of the Department and the Minister to intervene with support if these decisions are not being made in the right time. Shepherdson, with these interventions, we're confident that we tied most of the loose ends on the project, which will allow us to focus fully on project implementation. As we're not going to be having any of these challenges anymore, and really then, once we get the ball rolling fully, we want to look at the efficiencies that we can exploit and bring the completion date forward, to see if we can finish sooner than December timeline. If you can appreciate, we've also said on the various pipelines, they're not all waiting for the last pipeline to be completed. As they become complete, water will be made available to those reservoirs. This is just a summary then of what we are doing. The designs are going to be finalized based on the revised concept from the planning perspective. And this should be ready in a short while, because it's not significant changes. Then the current shortfall on funding to complete, as I've said, all of the underperforming indirect allocations, we will assign money to the project, we don't return money when they still start projects and people without water. We've already formed a team with Mopani District Municipality to make sure that they also follow through on the water treatment work and the reticulation network, as well as reconstructing the new wastewater treatment plant. When we met with them 2 weeks ago, they had already appointed capacity in terms of providers to deal specifically with this, and we will provide feedback in the next reporting to that effect as well. And then we will proceed with the upgrade of Nandoni water treatment works as well in parallel to the Diani water project to cover the RF areas in them, as and when the need arrives in the future. Thank you very much, Shepherd.
Minister, is there any additional thing you want to say, Minister or the Deputy Minister?
On my side, I'm fully covered. Thank you, Chair.
Not myself.
No, I think the Minister covered as well as he showed me on this particular issue, Chair. I think with your permission, we can give the other presentation.
We have not decided on the process and procedures, colleagues. Do we take all the second presentation or want to engage this one first? If I can just hear you saying.
Yes. Can we take another presentation so that we engage on all when we arrive at engagement time?
Do I take it that is concerned that?
Yes, Chair, we are fine, we're comfortable.
Okay.
Yes, Chair, we are fine with that. That will proceed right away to the Baal project. Thank you. I'm going to fall on your heels and learn to render as soon as possible. But I need an incentive. I need an incentive. Alright. No, as said before, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson and members, we landed into the Baal project problem, and we had lengthy and various discussions, basically culminating in us first going there, and all of us in the department, meeting all stakeholders,
agreeing that indeed we need to go back to the basics and tackle whatever problem of whatever proportion has been experienced and is being experienced in the valley by communities, by local municipalities, by Gauteng municipality, by the district there. We're all in one in those sectors we need to go to the basics, back to the basics, remove sewer from residential areas as quickly as possible because it's unacceptable. In first place, that such something like that was allowed to happen, and then the length of time that has been spent with people living in such conditions. And then we inspected the infrastructure there, the pumps, the water treatment plants. Indeed, they needed a drastic intervention, and the local municipality of the district were not in a position to do that. 363 was already there, and 139. So we all agreed that this water and sanitation needed to intervene. And then we appointed in July, August last year, Rainwater. We had sessions with them, the technical issues, transferring this and that to them as a project implementer at the stage. We have had some meetings with them on a regular basis. Deputy Minister Mashobo and Mr. Maile have been appointed to lead the project at the political level, making sure that everything is done to clear the environment from community to local municipalities and councillors up to the district and province, that they are pointed people or point people on the ground and have to be there as frequently as possible, making sure that they anticipate problems while they are still far, tackle them, prevent them. When they're okay, they need to resolve them on the spot, but allow the rainwater to just focus on dealing with the problem more than dealing with the issues of environment. And I think at that level, they've done well with hitches here and there, but by and large, there's progress. And in terms of the core business of what Rainwater needs to do, they are going to report on that. But we are, I wouldn't say happy, because we have a deficit anyway. It's something that should have been done longest time ago. We're only doing it now. So as we make progress, we have limited happiness, that at least in terms of what we are doing now, we are satisfied that we're making progress. But at the same time, we can't avoid looking at the deficit that has been caused and the harm that has been caused and the embarrassment to government. However, we have to deal with the work in front of us, which is now happening. So I would request that if Mashobo wants to make additional comments, we can do so, and then allow the implementing agent and what to do so, or he can come at a later stage. I don't know what you prefer, Mashobo.
I can just come in now quickly, Mashobo, and let people come up that way.
Thank you.
Now, thank you very much, Minister. Your Excellency, Chair and members, and the leadership of the administration in the department, CEO, and CEO Rainwater. Chairperson, just to indicate that after Minister assigned us and the Premier assigned the MEC, there is a government structure. The government structure that the Minister and the Premier set up is all inclusive. It has 46 organizations. 46 organizations. It includes government, both national, provincial, and local. But it also includes the community organizations, NGOs, including NGOs that are dealing with issues of environment. And that committee is chaired by the two focal principals, and we've been having a lot of these engagements. I thought we should be able just to note for you that there is that structural arrangement. Secondly, the minister directed us to deal with the issues of the new administration in council. The councillors of Mfuleni and the mayor of the district, they've been fully been briefed on this project. We're the meeting, and I want to put it on record to convey our sincere gratitude and them to the Popolo Committee, especially the chairperson of the Popolo Committee, Comrade Mashiko. He was part of this meeting where councillors of Mfuleni, they came in and they went to the district. They were fully briefed over the last three weeks ago, and they are very familiar with the project. We did this exercise because the minister wanted these leaders to be fully involved and to be fully briefed. But also at the very same time, there was an emergency of a new tendency where councillors, they had an interest in what's happening in their ward, and they were starting to disrupt the project and have stoppages. That actually resulted in Rainbow pulling out of sight. Minister has indicated that we have a deficit. There is time, but it's not on the basis of stoppages. Initially, the stoppages were led by communities. Communities in the main, they were of the view that they needed work, and also other people, they needed their own local companies to actually benefit. But in the biggest meeting of the structure that is co-chaired by Naive and myself, were to make the community to make a choice whether should the government continue to spend money and burn the money on the basis that people want jobs, or on the basis that people want to have their own friends and companies taking jobs. But at the end of the day, on the guidance of the minister, we all agreed that the first task was to remove the sewer in people's homes. People were living in inhumane conditions, and they've been subjected to more than nearly 20 years on those particular conditions, less than 20 years. And that was an agreement. And we said nobody, including any organization, would stand on the way of removing sewer from the homes, the streets, and until into our own roof. Therefore, last year we lost most of the time dealing with community unrest or stoppages, and his minister helped us to establish that one coordinated forum. So the implementing agent will not be wasting time and be disrupted in doing the work. But when the new councillors came in, some of them, they behaved in a irresponsible way, despite that the mayors had already been briefed where they were stopped the project, including the workers of that municipality called Mfuleni. And where workers of Rainwater were threatened, ultimately they went out of sight. Therefore, this meeting with councillors was able to ensure that Rainwater was able to go back to site, because there were a number of days that we lost that people would speak to on the basis of the behavior of the municipality at this time. But we need also to indicate that a full briefing has also been done to all the municipalities of the valley. That briefing was led by His Excellency the Premier Makura for 2 weeks at home, wherein Deputy Minister Masawa and Deputy Minister Majola, on the economic recovery, we look at Section 139, Section 139.1b of that intervention by the Provincial Executive Council, and the 53 of the Water Services Act intervention by Minister Mtun, where they were fully briefed. And everybody, I must be able to indicate leadership that they've agreed to support the intervention. We've also agreed that technical committees will brief the frontline leadership all the time and will communicate with the communities. There were delays in the project when Rainwater started because of certain issues, but after the minister and the DG intervened, additional capacity was brought in, especially around the question of the unblocking of the systems. But at the very same time, Rainwater has been working very hard, but in a professional way, in ensuring that one, the entire network is actually revamped so that it can be functional. The way water treatment works, because there are a number of them that were not functioning, they have been brought into functionality, including the most important component, the pump stations and others. That capacity that was brought in early this year after the intervention by the state minister, significant progress has been made. And even last week, I had an opportunity to go inside to the leadership office today and participate. We are happy to report that we are starting to achieve the objective minister gave us. In a number of households, the sewer has been completely removed in people's homes. And people in their own ways, they are very, very, very grateful to Minister Mthuli and President Ramaphosa that at this time, government that has been seen as unrealistic is starting to be very realistic. And we went as an example to zone 10 of the game around the region, not even a single area there, where the houses were immense, under or flooded by the sewer. The sewer is totally gone. It had a very devastating impact on the condition of houses, but it also had people having a health problem. A number of young people, they were born up, they grew up, they were born there. They never knew anything other than the sewer. And we're very pleased that the smell is not there. But ministers' instructions are very clear, is that this sewer, even if it's removed from the streets and homes, that sewer can continue to pollute the reef, which is a precious resource. Minister says it's a blessing to the people of South and the back there. We then noticed that now the plant that has been increased. Remember the original plant there had 100 megaliters capacity. Module 6 was done. It added an additional capacity of 50 megaliters to 150. At the time I visited there and the record in the plant, for the first time, the plant is receiving on average more than 185 megaliters of sewer. And that sewer is being treated properly. And there is a telemetry where the youngsters that have been trained by Rainwater, working for Messi Aliko, they are able to do an assessment. They pick up the samples. They go to the Rainwater laboratory. But more importantly, those young people are highly qualified in the water space, and they are also able to use that element. And the water quality samples of the water that is being tested is starting to be on the right standard. But the biggest work of the river standardization of the integrated water system from Mpumalanga to the Northern Cape is one assignment that the minister is looking at, supported by us as the city ministers, because as part of the work the GP was doing, we should clean up the integrated water river system. We are very pleased to report on that, Your Excellency. One matter that we are still struggling with, that we still want to bring to your attention, is matters of security. The security issues and vandalism continue to be the biggest issue. There is incidents where the people who are working there, they are being attacked. The infrastructure is vandalized and there's a cable there. And those entities are highly armed. But we are working with law enforcement agencies, but also the implementing agent, the Rainwater, is actually looking at beefing up the security capacity. But as part of our security plan, we have said that communities are the best defense mechanism. They too, they will have to play their part. And this is what we get. For now, but this is the project Minister is doing, because around all the formerly mining towns, there is this issue of the highest level of vandalism, of theft, that is impacting on water resources in terms of the pumping, but also in our own sewer plant. That's the summary that a person without a vocal level should be able to report.
But we must thank the Sokoto Committee who has been on the ground. The chairperson has also represented you when the other Sokoto Committee on environmental issues they were on the ground, where of which we need to align our work with the other sectors that have an interest in that particular space. But progress is being made. Minister is correct, we are not happy with the progress. The DG, after engaging with the ministry yesterday, has committed that more and the team, they will further increase the capacity because we don't want any time lost in terms of the intervention them. And the budget is still available as the minister has managed to mobilize the funds. We still have an additional about 200 million that we have to expand at this particular point. That money might not be adequate because the overall revamping and rehabilitation of the entire infrastructure there, stopping the sewer from the roads, the houses, and also increasing the capacity by rainwater, get MFULED to be functional again, will be costing us more than 7 billion rand. But the Office of the Minister and the Minister of Finance will handle those issues. But at this point, we can't say money is a problem. We just have to do the implementation. I will ask for the chair, the CEO, to make the presentation of the report. It's a long report, but it's going to give you an abridged version. But that report, because it also has the scope, it has the Gantt chart, which is the work breakdown schedule of our work. It will be a very important document to you as members of the Sokoto Committee to use that document as your base document, one for oversight, but also to be able to hold us accountable as the ministry on the performance of the cleaning up of the bad and ensuring those communities they live in human conditions. CEO and the team, they are here. Comrades, before you can make your presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, and I believe that you are not saying comrades because you think that it will be a
comrade means a friend, the leadership. Then the comrade chair.
Okay. If you all understand it that way. I have heard people fighting when you call them comrades. I'm not your comrade. I'm a member of what. That is fine. It's fine. Yo.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you. Members of the committee, minister, deputy minister, colleagues that are here. I'm not going to talk long around the background, as this has been touched upon by the TDM, some of the issues on the ground. And this slide really summarizes what we're dealing with here. An issue of infrastructure, if you like, neglect of a number of years. The whole system has completely collapsed, and these are the impacts of that collapse. And this picture really is like a thousand words. So the issue is, where do we start? It has been indicated that through Section 63 of the Water Services Act, the minister intervened. And the first thing that the minister wanted us to do, as it has been repeated already, is to remove sewer from the residential properties. Some of the sewer, as a result of the collapsed infrastructure, was starting to come out of people's properties. And of course, it doesn't end there. For us, it will completely eliminate pollution in the public system and restore the sustainability of water services in that area. We also have to repair sewer mains, pump stations, go inside wastewater treatment works, and repair from mechanical, electrical, and civil point of view. But most importantly, you have to upgrade the entire infrastructure. So if you do all these things together, which is what you're doing in the form of streams, in tandem, you are able to eliminate pollution in total. But really for us, the starting point was to remove sewer. And you see the focus of our intervention was really geared towards the issues of O&M, and that brings the focus from the beginning on at the onset to the most sure from people's property. I'm not going to talk about this one. The issues of Section 63 and the appointment for rainwater to come in and assist and add and augment the interventions that have been made by the department in the area to be satisfied Section 6139. This lighting actually is very important in the sense that it sort of paints the picture of how complex this system is that we're dealing with, the extent to which it has collapsed, and therefore the intervention in the period of time that will require, also including in the costs associated to turn around this dire situation. What you see in the blue there, the Vaal River system with the secondary rivers or tributaries that feed it into the Vaal River system. You see right across all these water bodies, there are wastewater treatment works, so Bukin, T-Spray, EOK, Mayotin, feeding into those, we've got quite a number, close to 40 plus pump stations that really collect sewer from the household, pump it into the wastewater treatment works. The sewer, as you flush, does not necessarily gravitate all the way to wastewater treatment works where it's treated, goes to pump stations where it's collected en masse and pumped into all the way into the wastewater treatment works. So what we're inheriting here is a system that has collapsed from the moment you flush. Because that network has collapsed, the water now does not move or gravitate to the pump stations. So that has to be fixed. The pump stations for the sewer that gets into the pump stations, in many instances, are not functioning. They are not operated. They have to be operated. Then, therefore, you can talk maintenance, refurbishment, upgrade. So the work also entails, you know, doing something about the pump stations. But most importantly, when the sewer gets there, unfortunately, the current situation was that the sewer was not even getting into the wastewater treatment. When it does, we need to have an upgraded wastewater treatment works that is able to deal with that wastewater that comes into there. So the complexities that we're talking about here is exactly ensuring that the entire system is operated, maintained, upgraded, and refurbished continuously so that it's able to ensure that we don't have the collapse of the pipe networks, and then there's no pollution into the water bodies as a result of non-functioning pump stations or purely operated wastewater treatment works. So the scope of the work really to ensure that this is resolved into a entail attending to all these pump stations and wastewater treatment works and the number of pipes that feed into these pump stations. So what we have done is to take this big element and dissect it into bite-sized chunks. What we call streams. There's a stream, therefore, that is dealing with the refurbishment it has and the upgrades. We then said that there needs to be a stream that deals with the operations and maintenance. And of course, beyond the interventions, we need to have the building, which is the stream on the whole. This includes, amongst the others, the reduction of non-revenue water or water losses. But one of the most important streams, although not technical, is around advocacy. Stakeholder and communication management, education programs, making sure that this is not our theme or our project, but the community still they buy in, they support it. And as the DM indicates, we also take responsibility in terms of safeguarding the infrastructure that we are going to be using those programs. But lastly, what is important is as soon as we need to do proper monitoring and evaluation, that we are able to refurbish, repair, upgrade, and operate the system. So by the time that we leave, we have to in place a monitoring and evaluation program to ensure that steps are working, to ensure that we have a proper water quality with water monitoring system to pick up some of the challenges. So these dreams will run in parallel, At this point in time, we are focusing on operations and maintenance. The department is doing upgrades, and we are running with the contractors that are dealing with some of the issues of refurbishment repairs and upgrades. But as a rainwater was starting point, we have capacitated Tialikwa. Tialikwa is the division of Mfuleni local municipality that is responsible for operations and maintenance of the system. Ours is an intervention. When we leave over a period of time, we need to have a running division of the municipality that is able to operate and maintain its own system. And indeed, one of the biggest challenges that you have or have is that once you start running out of spokes, because you don't have a functioning water and sanitation department, it's not attended to. You can call all you want, if you call, you go through, there are no vehicles, there's no tools, there are no accidents on place, and so on and so forth. So for us, when the directive was get sewer to put out, was to say, what is the problem you have with that? And the problem was with regards to oven tap. So the subsequent slides really focus on our intervention in that regard. But the scheme in its total, for us to intervene in response to all the issues that I'm mentioning, we're estimating it to be approximately over 7 billion. For the management, operations and maintenance, approximately 600, refurbishment, and the upgrade of the wastewater demand works and related network infrastructure to meet the future demand is about approximately 4.8. And then, of course, we understand that the budget is limited everywhere you go. What we are doing, therefore, with other stakeholders coming board, to really partner with us to source the current fund. But you can't start with 7.6, but to start somewhere. The department has made the budget allocation in the next couple of years of about 400 million. So what we have done is taken this budget and dissected it. In terms of the streams and in the areas of intervention, you will see the biggest chunk goes into the refurbishment and repair of potable water. One of the biggest challenges that we have is there is that water is running everywhere. This water ends up in, like, water treatment works, wastewater treatment works. You don't want to exclude it. You want sewer to go to wastewater treatment to drinking water. So over and above intervening wastewater, we spend the money on making allocation of the budget to deal with the issues of potable water. But then you see the second biggest cost comes into pets. Followed by O&M, and as I indicated, we've got to have vehicles, we have to have equipment, we've got to have plants, we've got to have tools to operate and maintain systems like this. And then we are assisting, as you see in the pictures, later on in the presentation, we are assisting them with tools and ensuring that they have the necessary equipment to attend to these issues. So if you like, the streams differently, we ensure from our side compliant effluent. As the DM indicates, that he's been on site already, has seen the effluent including the post plant. It means our intervention is certainly a significant content. In this slide, we just provide a high level summary of progress. Most of the details are in the subsequent presentation. At your leisure, members, you can go through those. But you'll see if you look at the stream that came about now, we now have plumbers on actually from this area to partner our colleagues in the TLS to assist them to attend to the issues of operations and maintenance, that regard including water conservation and demand management. We now have tools, we have vehicles, we are tending to leaks and we are placing cables, because we don't have cables, will not be able to attend to this. But from the refurbishment point of view, we've already attended to collapsed mains, and the engineers are also doing perfect assessment for us so far as well as we go. DM Mahlobo talked about the wastewater treatment works, module 6 that we as a rainwater completed over the number of years. We are already talking the design of the upgrade for the additional module in that space and other interventions. In the other parts of the scheme, so far as we see the documents are concerned. I'm happy to report, DM, that from the security point of view around issues of sustainability, we have secured the additional security in the area to augment what we have, because we're dealing with the different type of criminality in that space. So as at this week, we have augmented our security presence on the ground. Advocacy is the continuous issue. As it is, we have put aside the issue. The people does not, the DM has highlighted to ensure that the communities are on board, take ownership, and safeguard the infrastructure over and above that. And we've already started with the monitoring of the ongoing infrastructure. Maybe to report that at least now the municipalities of plumbing schools, there's no point putting municipal officials to attend the blockade of the young schools. They are able to do so because now we have pools. You can see here we have we don't have the before slides, but by and large here we now have a well organized right spares and tools in place to attend to the blockages and the details. We have been any sources that have been every week. This is one of the examples that we had there. There's no point in talking sewer when we're wasting water that is running everywhere, getting into sewer drains, creating a lot more problems that we have. So we are attending and have attended and continue to attend water leaks in this area. Yeah, in this slide, we just also say we have found that in the very small water plant called Uber, in here we have come in and capacitated our colleagues here to be able to operate. As you can see in this line, we have taken learners from the area, we put them on through our learnership program. We are now working on certifying them and making them process controllers with NQF level 4 accredited. So you cannot just wake up and run water treatment plants. We have to have operators that are well trained and able to run these plants. I'm happy to report that beyond rainwater, these trainings will be able to run this plant on their own. Of course, we pray long and hard that they will get support from the municipalities to ensure that they have chemicals and taking over for management to be able to run these plants. So I was to capacitate and get out of the system and leave the municipality with an officer of capacity to run the projects on their own. As I indicate, you can't run the water and sanitation department without diagrams. We have secured 16 of them, they've been delivered, they are on site, and we are able to attend to risk of challenges and water challenges on site. The responsibility of our municipality beyond this is to make sure that these are maintained, they are replaced, and budgeted for going forward. We have assisted them to schedules, to manage their fleet, and have them manuals on site to be able to attend. So all the slides, the motor vehicles that are needed for them to attend to this have now been delivered. So we're making progress. Jim, what you have seen in Sibukim, where now the sewer is no longer running in people's homes as a result of this intervention where the completed collapsed pipeline in Sibukim is concerned. So we can tick that box that if it's in this area, we were able to deal with the sewer that's coming out of the people's house. We ensure as we do so that there is local depreciation. And as you see, those houses that you mentioned there, we have fixed the collapsed line, we have cleared the site, just to make it look aesthetic, and we have completed this, and also appointed and worked with local means as we address some of the challenges outside. What we have also found inside is that there's no cables. If you don't have cables, there's no power in the plants, and can't run your district next further. So we have replaced it. Some of the cables, of course, guard and secure these cables, the electrical cables, so that the plants are able to operate. What is the progress that we have seen with these interventions? Are they yielding something? In this light, yes, they are. We do. We can see those lines are always sort of wet. Before the interventions, if you look at those horizontal lines, before the interventions made to me, for Sebokeng wastewater treatment works, we had a situation where waste was not even getting to this point. Sewer has to go to wastewater treatment for it. So when paying sewer that thousand cents is put in over 40 megaliters of water a day, now we have sewer going into the booking wastewater treatment with the module built, state of the art module, 130 megaliters of water a day. So we can keep water. And then we can start thinking about discharging a compliant wastewater treatment. Our intervention also in this project as well, you see that almost nothing went into this project. And around July 2021, so the interventions were in. So the focus now will then gradually move towards wastewater to works, a place and intervention so that we discharge compliant wastewater to works. So the intervention. Look at the inflows of our wastewater treatment works in our facility. In town as well, we had a collapsed sewer line. This is in Union Street, right in the middle of town. We are present today about 30% complete this project. We are attending to it. I think it will take us a lot more than 4 months because of what we found on site. The situation was a lot more than what we anticipate we do. But at least this intervention is ensuring that the sewer is not flowing into this. GM was very happy with the mayor and the executive mayors in the area. The detected booking zone. And we can see with the houses, this is a well established area. To have sewer coming out of this office, which is unfortunate. On the day of the visit there, you see GM, the other leadership, and thank you to the steering committee for their intervention. We are able to get our work done. We are able to focus on doing what we know best, operating in any division of our system. So we are making progress in starting to see sewer coming, they're going to come out of the house. The work is not completed yet. It will take a bit of time to complete that problem. But we started to started somewhere and we are gaining people are gaining confidence in the work that we do. That's just an example of some of the challenges that we were experiencing. These are not just people coming in and, you know, grabbing like Gunya was just grabbing some of the cables. This is a well orchestrated system of criminals that fire at us inside. So as I indicated, we have beefed up security. We are well armed now. We've increased the patrolling and all the plants that are going to be attacking fully. This slide I really intend to go into this detail. We report these details at the steering committee where we indicated exactly where it's going. The budget that we have for this financial year is 100 million. In the notary's account, we provide a rundown on a continuous basis as exactly where we stand. So this slide could give you aids or indication of where the funds are currently going and how much have we spent today. What you then do is also break down these interventions and of the rounds and cents over a period of time. That we have an understanding of what is going to happen in each month, and we are being monitored and evaluated have found the problems. So you will see all these interventions provide cash flows of the project estimates as a result of this intervention. This includes, as I indicated, security, supply and delivery of cables, pumps, generators, the actual chemicals you need, chlorine, inside, and sort of electricity for some of the wastewater. I'll stop in this light. There are challenges, and the DM has indicated that related to these challenges. We're dealing with them as a more issues of vandalism and theft, stoppages, and initially when we brought in fire, there was no clear indication around the responsibility to criticize the municipality. The municipalities are not going to be doing anything. They're not going to be doing anything themselves, but I think with the intervention in many meetings that we've been having at the steering committee, we've been able to deal with this issue. The DM also talked about the conflict of interest. So this is the progress that Chair, I just wanted to stop here, that we have made on site. I think the slide to the end of this panel, we're in it for the long haul. We're only dealing with the O&M now, and indeed over a period of time, we're going to be dealing with big ticket items, including the upgrade of wastewater treatment works, the provision of pump stations, but I think we're starting to see positive progress in that direction. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, DM, our minister. Is there anything you want to say before we engage?
On my side, I'm covered, Your Excellency, Mr. Chair. I'm covered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can I see input by show of hands by members? I see the hand of Honorable Basson. We start by the Kianu one. Yes, let's get the Kianu by Kianu one.
Yeah, I don't have a question on Kianu, so I'll stand off for now.
Okay. I'm going to put Seke.
Chair, thanks very much for your time. And let me also appreciate the work that has been done by the department. As much as we, there's a lot of noise. Yeah, as much as we are not able to, in terms of the flow for continuity, but we are comfortable with the work done. And also, I also want to appreciate that the department now has assigned a chief director who's also an engineer to oversee the project itself, because we remember that previously there was a lack of monitoring from the side of PWS. But now I think we are comfortable. As much as I'm not quite sure about the role that is played by the province, by the provincial head and the chief, what is their role in terms of overseeing the entire project? And then secondly, when Mo was presenting, he made mention of the completion date of the December in other projects, the pipelines one, the Diallo, the Mandoni, and the March 2023. But I'm also trying to check whether those deadlines or those completion dates, will they cover the legislation in all the villages, the 55 villages around Kiani, or is it only the completion date for the pipelines only? I think those are my two questions for Kiani. Thanks, Jeff, and comments for Kiani. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's important to appreciate this turnaround strategy and project recovery plan on the lost ground that is done by Ntate Masingwane and the BDM. It's a very, very frustrating sport. I think when he went to that project, he could not believe his ears. And worse when he sees the people of that area suffering. That's one question in which people comment. More especially to the minister and the DM. Is the minister now comfortable that the turnaround strategy that the department is doing will be implemented well, will be monitored well? I raise the question because the department has been there, which is a paramount authority to oversee projects and contractors. Has there been an assessment on the departmental strength on monitoring service providers? Because the issue here is, the minister put it very well, that the conceptual design of project was wanting, was highly challenged. Now, the department was there. It was there. That design was assessed by the department, regardless of if it was done by whoever, an engineer. And the scope of the project with project management principles are best known by the department. Are we comfortable? Have we made a clear analysis of the department's strengths and weaknesses in this particular program? I still have an imagination of the people of Guyana. Very sad people. About Gogo driving water from wheelbarrows, and their houses are in a tattered image, full of ants, full of many other issues for them to grasp water whenever it comes. That was a very bad image. So I just want to ask from the department if the minister is comfortable that this turnaround will be well monitored, overseen by the department. Because contractors are contractors. They are not there for you. They are there for their profit. The department must be able to protect our people well. I just wanted to raise that issue, that question, to the minister and the deputy minister. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. On my side, let me just mention in the portfolio committee that I did receive quite a lot of complaints from people of Nandoni. They wrote me letters, they invited me, I met with them somewhere in the Pompo, and I have been communicating with them. So of late, I have uncommitted to go meet them, and we will be going there as the portfolio committee. I am still trying to find out of the proper delegation, but I'm going there. Someone is going to go with me. I might want to take one or two other members of the programming colleagues of the portfolio, depending on whether the chair of chairs will allow more. The things that they have raised, the minister and the deputy minister, some of them, you are already addressing them in your report. Where the issue is that it is whether, because I've realized that, for instance, if you go to the Valois, you go for stakeholders in Limpopo, as per the report of those colleagues there. There were also quite a lot of stakeholders that were there. There are those that are happy, there are those that are not happy. So I'm not sure as to whether we are answering the call, but looking at the report, we seem to be. For instance, the issue of the payment of the relocation, the pain, the loss of the millfield, even the affecting of the pipeline that goes through the IRS and so forth and so on. What is it that we are paying them? And they're raising those issues. But this business report, I think you're answering some of them. Now, the two points I want to raise, Minister and Dr. Mazzop, and I want to share the sentiment of me as a committee for us. We must be worried, and I think we said in the previous meeting, and what Mom Tri is raising, she raised as supposed to be that isn't it not supposed to, that all plans being done there, the department would have gone through it and they know of what's going to happen to a level where we are. But if you have listened to the input by the minister, he did say that they are small in reporting to us, because indeed he is taking already a step that the department was not necessarily equal to the task. There was a lot of things that the department was supposed to do that they did not do. It's not about even the discomfort of the communities and the kings and chiefs there. So he has already agreed of the mistakes for the wrong that the department has done in prior asking the question. But we must raise our concerns. And as we have said in the presentation, the minister, the deputy minister, the DG, the deputy deputy general, in those ensuing years and work, surely should be held accountable. And I want to repeat that statement. When I said it, there was a hullabaloo that I am targeting people. I know I'm not targeting people. The portfolio committee was not targeting people. We were saying, if we call the minister Mfunu, come and account, and issue account and point the direction of the DG, who will then go to the DG. If he goes to point to another, the minister was there before. So we are not targeting any individual. The point we're making is that somebody must account for things that happen under his fire watch and say, I did not see it because of it. If it is proven, but clearly even in the report now, somebody dropped the ball somewhere. And somebody must account. They must account. And I think we shouldn't be apologetic about that. Now, what I'm asking, Minister, I know, for instance, all of us know, Kiani, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, we are in rural areas. The reticulation of standpipe is very expensive, because one house with the other is about 20, 30 meters, 50 meters away from one another. Now the water in between the 30, 40 meters, I mean meters, not kilometers, meters, in between the two houses, there's a place where the pipe is just moving from one point to the other. It serves no purpose. Are we not envisaging the old communal tap system as compared to house-to-house tap system? And if we do want to do house-to-house, how effective and how sustainable can that be? Where your houses are far away from each other and you have got quite a lot of lost water that you will incur in between the spaces of the offer where there is no house. Because houses by their own design as a rural area as it might be, they are not close to each other like your urban or semi-urban areas where the houses are close to each other. What is your take on that particular point? And I must appreciate that in terms of progress report, Minister, there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel, and so much appreciate. I haven't seen another hand. I would then that there's no other hand, I will then allow the department to ask. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Chair. Maybe I can start just to say, Minister was correct to say we are embarrassed as a state. And we assume assets and liabilities when we get into these offices. And we take full accountability. We have disappointed the people of Congo in the main area. And that's why the finance minister was very clear that in taking responsibility, including your call of accountability, that's why the state has to bring in law enforcement agents to get into the bottom of this thing. Because if you look at the presentation that Mo has done, and I must confirm this presentation is not a a presentation by National. It's a presentation worked by both Mo and the provincial head because they've been working together there. That's why you could see when we brought our own experts on the ground, there was a discovery that there's been an overstating of the achievements, especially the progress that has been made. And when Mo and the team of Bruce and others, they brought the team with the Fed, they discovered that some of the work is actually supposed to be 50% below what people have seen. And that's why the SIU, the House and everybody are dealing with those issues, including our own internal disciplinary issues. But as the team is coming to you, Your Excellencies, is to address the fundamental issue that has been happening, where certain people who are professionals and are registered with professional bodies, they are not doing what they are supposed to do. For an example, you cannot start as a contractor to do the implementation and construction without, firstly, the three documents that are required. There is a document called Record of Decision that will deal with issues of the EIAs, your licensing, the permits, the certificates. They are ready to implement documents and the others where the designs are there. And it's one of those funny things, Chen, that we must admit, that I never understand even myself, how do you actually go on the ground without the proper plan, including the breakdown schedule? You go in there, you don't know how much it's going to take, how is the terrain in terms of the geotechnical assessment. There are no proper design, you design as you go along. Very unacceptable and unprofessional. And I fully agree that accountability should be the norm. But these people of Limpopo and people of Giani, whether from Bembe to Mobadi, they are human too. Our constitution instructs us so that the right to enjoy access to water, which is equivalent to the right to life, must be a right that is unfettered. It must not be interfered. Therefore, the presentation by both the minister and our team is a demonstration of our commitment to actually do redress and correct things that have happened. Now, at your disposal as our leader for the public representative, for the first time, you can see the clear plan. A plan that guarantees us where water will come from, because the source is very important. But we are also demonstrating in the plan the issues of associated infrastructure. Mo has fully demonstrated that in certain instances, there was not even a plan for such a village to have a secondary infrastructure like your river was. In the plan, it is included now, Your Excellency. But equally, we are also saying that the work that is being done by Zembe is not adequate to bring water to an RDC standard into a communal tap. That's why the department is actually breaking new ground, actually pushing the line to say, we would want to use the mechanism within the law and the finances we have as per the instruction of the minister, every household must have a tap, not in the street, but in the household. That's why the scheme could demonstrate that this is the progress municipality is putting and what are we doing. But equally, Chair, for the first time, there are clear timelines that were given to yourself now, so that you, as our leader, as a public president, you are able to go on the ground and know that whether these lines that are spoken about, where they are, what is the progress, but you can also be able to hold us accountable. The last point that this presentation is seeking to do is a demonstration. How much money will it take to complete the Kiani project? The Nandoni Nzambi, Kiani, and all Madam Dele and all those communities. The timelines are here now, Chen, when these communities can start receiving water. Because where a particular point of the infrastructure network is concluded, water must start to flow. But then there's an issue of budget. South Africans are having a dim view about us. If we spend more than 3 billion rand, they are asking how many billions are you still going to spend to complete the project? Mo and the team of those and other engineers, they are saying to us, another money to be spent in addition that has already been spent will not exceed 4.3 billion rand. That's the figure that we are looking at, apart from issues of escalations and so forth. But we have said to them, let them put their heads on the floor, that this thing is going to be finished with this budget, because we don't want to be in the middle of nowhere in a city. And then we are being told to put another video, or going to put another video. That will not be acceptable under the leadership of Lim Samsung, Dear Matters, and myself, and the DG. That's what we could be able to do, leadership. The issues of capacity management is very clear. There's an issue. The implementing agents, not only this one, a number of our implementing agents, we have learned our lesson that we must do capacity assessment of implementing agents, but also internally in the department, we must stay closer to the implementing agents. Because some of these implementing agents, they have performed very poorly, or they have failed. And the effort is put the department into disrepute, but more worse than everything, Chair, they have ensured that citizens, they don't enjoy the right to access to water, which is a constitutional right. That's why, in this case, the provincial office, the construction unit, led by Mo, and the provincial head, now behind this level and all the waters, our treatment measures, we are putting someone at a level that is senior enough as a chief director. But we are not only putting a chief director, Your Excellency, we are putting a professional agent. Because this work is technical, Mam Strike. We are correct that our MNT will be one of those particular issues. And we have decided that all these major projects, whether in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KZN, Eastern Cape, everywhere, we are receiving monthly reports from the director general so that we can intervene on time. The issues around the visit of those communities in Giani, Nandoni, and so forth, we have cleared these issues that Minister assigned to work with those constituencies around them. Mama Tati was assigned to work in Bufani, and will be supporting the members of the Pofono Committee, especially the chairperson. When you go that other side, we'll give you the fight, but you have one of the things that we want to say, we are very grateful to the stakeholders, especially the traditional leaders, that they were very understanding despite our missteps. They allowed us access to their communities, and that land is owned by them, and we've been able to pay all those people that are supposed to pay. The people we can't take care of, one are some of the people that just came in and say they have a claim. We are in a process with more traditional leaders and municipalities to make a determination whether the claim is legitimate or not. But at the very same time, other matters around payment of land, it has been done by most agencies. The issues around the population of those villages, you could see, we don't want these pipelines going through from Nandoni through Verbe until Mobani and Giani and Malambe. And the people around Verbe, they don't have access to water. That's why you could see there is that integrated planning from all of us. But we'll be very pleased to continue to work with the Popolo Committee, including that Mo and Lucy. They must be able to share with you where these projects are happening in terms of GPS location. So that when you go around, you can be able to see whether those pipelines are happening or not. I'll stop there, Chairperson, unless Lucy and Mo want to add something. Lucy, is there something you want to add? Lucy?
Thank you, GM. I think you have said a mouthful. We will support the visit and we will prepare some briefing notes for the chairperson when they come down. If they can share with us the schedule, the team in the province is mobilized and ready to welcome the visit by the chairperson of the Football Duo Committee. In terms of the presentation, I think my boss has covered what we have captured and everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Philip. Mo, do you have anything from your side that you think we have left out, what the members have asked?
Thanks, DM. I think from me, it's just to answer Honorable Member Seke about the role of the provincial head, because we're talking about the chief director. So I think we must just clarify that a significant portion of this work would not be possible without the provincial head. Provincial head is a direct extension of other head office in the province of Limpopo with a team, and they put in a brilliant effort to making sure that we are where we are as one team as well. We wanted to put that on that.
Now, thank you, Chairperson. I think we've dealt with the issues raised by the three honorable members. I hope we've covered what we did before.
I see the hand of Honorable Person. Is that for the next step presentation, Honorable Person, or for now?
The next one, thank you, Chair.
Okay. I hope that Lucy and Mo, please communicate to Somani, who's going to be the part of the visit, for an exchange documentation of what that is going to do. Somani, please be available, and let us be ready. Share the program and so forth and so on, with both Lucy and Mo. We are now on the second presentation. We are now on the second presentation.
Can I go
in? There was the end.
Thank you.
Let me just check. Yes, if it's still only you are alone.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm just having a concern on the Section 63 intervention on the wall. Chairperson, in the past, we saw what happened after the intervention. We spend a lot of money, and we talk about 7 billion plus that could be spent on this project. My worry is, Chairperson, and I want to find out whether we'll get any guarantees from the department that when this intervention has been finalized and if we then hand that back to the municipality, that we won't see 6 months down the line that this intervention has failed once again. We cannot spend 7 billion rand handed back to a municipality that don't have the capability, financial capability, and technical skills to understand in this, that and water training people. That's one thing, Chairperson, training people. the next thing is, how do you maintain the maintenance if there's no money? I want us to make 100% sure that if, and I'm saying, I'm using if we hand this back, that we can guarantee that that will happen. Otherwise, Chairperson, this should stay with Rand Water. We should get an agreement that the infrastructure be handed over to them or to any other body that could run and maintain this on a constant basis to make sure we don't waste another 7 billion on this project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Having had that, if I may just also put one or two things. Minister, on the day that we were in the meeting with the people of Wau, we also agreed and committed that there shall be a one-day report back session of progress made every week. How far are we with that? Is it happening? Is it effective? Is it giving us progress? And the appreciation I'm making also on the Bali, it's exactly this point that the Honorable Masson is raising. We popular views must not win the day, even if it is wrong. You have already bought first cars for Mfuleni. And when you know that you give them a car, people come and repossess the car because Mfuleni is in debt. You give them a car, those thieves come and take it because they believe it is their job that they must do. What is it that you are discussing that we can do that will stop that from happening? For instance, the incapacity of the personnel, senior personnel of that area, because of its level of the municipality, the skills that you need of a chief director, the salary equal to that is too high for them to get paid. Now, are we not going to lose this valuable asset we are giving to them on the basis of one, incapacity, two, of organized crime that is taking place? Because people that are simple of vandalizing in Val, it's not necessarily small people, big people with guns and everything else, who demand that it is only them and them alone who must be given business. But if you don't, then there's war. Now, after you have, in December, when you are finished and you are gone, given the history of that area, how sure are we that we are not going to go back to square one? Now, not that the project will have failed, the project will have succeeded, but it will have gone back by facts and facts organized in that area. If Rand Water is going to pull out, are we not foreseeing that? If we do, what is the fact? Let me see if there is another hand that I haven't seen. No, there is none. There is none, Minister. You can answer.
No, thank you very much, Your Excellency.
Chairperson. Oh, raise your hand. Raise your hand in the podcast.
I did, Chair, before you spoke.
No, there is no hand. I'm looking at the
hand. I go. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentations that were made by the department to the minister and the DM are giving us high hopes. I don't want to lie. They are giving us high hopes in terms of how do we create a mechanism that's going to give dignity to our people. Well, that's all achievement that we want.
nothing else. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and the GM, for such a presentation and a well thought. You have managed to dig out where are the problems. In that appreciation, there are huge amounts of money. Even in 2019, when we were visited by, that are coming from national, from province, from local government, was all those spheres of government, they budget for this project. It was presented to us. They budget for this project. Now the project is not achieving its objectives. Could be that the scope was distorted. Could there be the scope was distorted? And also the terms of reference were not clear to the implementers of the project. And therefore, the consequence management, Honorable Minister, is important because that's a budget for the people, not for us as a portfolio committee, not for the department. Consequence management on the misuse fund. A huge financial loss which did not have value for money. We have now to budget again. What does that mean? What does that mean? And you did not achieve the objectives from what you wanted. It's important that at another time, Honorable Minister, we get consequences on how this project has been handled. The second issue, Chairperson, is the issue of the run water. I listened when the presentation was made. I've missed that. There are terms of reference and the timeline. Because giving a scope of a project to an institution without having your own, as the owner of the project, close out timeline. You find that many projects are prolonged. The contractor coming to that, no, we can finish again, give us 6 months, give us 5 or 7 months. And that 6 months or 7 months has got budget attached to it. So do we have that plan in the department to monitor that and close out the project? The last one says, I hear that there's a factor that is established with communities, with whoever, which I like because this project is with huge controversy. It gives transparency to the communities of that particular area. Now, I just want to give a warning to the department. Please, the department should not be replaced by that structure. The department should not be scared to address issues with that structure. Should not replace your governing power as a department. I'm raising this from experience of such structures when they are established. The last one, the anarchy approach of councillors. In 2019, that issue was raised to us under the big doi-doi, which was instigated by councillors in the same process. Cannot be acceptable. There's a disciplinary code in the piece of legislation about councillors. It's important that you go there. It cannot be the governor that distorts service delivery and ensure that people are not getting what they qualify to get, improving the conditions of the people. I am proposing, it's been 2019, this is 2022, that we get the piece of legislation that deals with the disciplinary code of councillors in distorting service delivery. It's my proposal, Chair. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You can't propose something that is law. That law must be revoked. You are simply saying let's revoke that law. Well, that law says that a councillor who who behave in a certain manner shall meet the following description. So as it, and I'm sure in the engagement of the councillors by the department, that they have that in mind. It might be that they don't want to be punitive in the approach if they take that a posture of constructive in dealing with the issue. But bearing in mind that in the absence of progress, punitive measures shall take place. It is allowed. And I'm sure that's what they're saying. That, in the absence of any other recourse, the latter shall take the leadership role of being punitive in what you do. Minister, we are in your hands now. I don't think any other hands.
No, thank you, Chair. We always come in here not only for account, but we also, as a department, we live empowered because of your own individual and collective experiences that you raise with us. And maybe I can just say, we do take your back around some of these issues, especially the issues of governance structures. Our attitude is guided by what his excellency President Ramaphosa said. The President said all the work we do, we must focus on social compact. No one must be left behind. His excellency Minister Msun, on all this intervention is doing, looking at the magnitude, he has always insisted that we use the two-tier level of governance structures. And these two-tier level governance structures, you always have a political water committee dealing with these issues, but also a technical committee. That will include all the role players, including business, professional leaders, and so forth. We are doing one with the team of cases and led by the minister around commerce. We are doing the ones that we are doing currently in all other provinces. Namely, I must agree, to bring the biggest organization under one roof, especially being chaired by me and MC Maida, is not an easy thing. The interests are very big. They are very divergent. And some of these people were to agree with them that what is our main objective? Our main primary objective is to ensure that the people of Mpule, they are living under the conditions that the Constitution promised, that they will live in an environment that is not harmful. The issues of environmental degradation and the pollution of our rivers is what binds us. That's why we agreed with them that we'll do whatever it takes to remove the sewer from home, in the streets, and in our precious resources, the river system. There's that particular agreement. But I must be able to confess that from time to time, certain members are out of that main routine. They have a tendency to want to fight for issues like getting who must be employed. Who must be employed? And others might find that they are able to certain people, a list of people that they want to be employed in their head. And there's another that employment must be transparent. People must be appointed by communities themselves. You know, communities, they are much better placed because they know which is the most vulnerable family they can appoint. But rather than it, we, those of us in leadership, would want to do things in a particular way, would cause problems. Then there's a second issue, which is the issue of local content to promote local economic development. You'll find that a number of other organizations, of course, individuals, leaders, they also have some companies in their own pockets. They want to get to the world.
We agreed that there's a process that Rainwater is following. They want to discuss with you the other day here, Rainwater process. But when it comes to employment, it was very clear how to be. We then said if there are those that will be delinquent, if I may use that word, Honorable Marcus Twice, we have the capacity of leaders to go straight to the communities, ourselves. The communities, they will have to make a choice on a decision. Do they want to live in an environment that comes to sewer in their own homes, where their homes, the bed of their homes for guests to be diminished, their children and family members are exposed to health risks and hazards? That's the choice communities they make. We understand our communities and our people where we come from. They will choose life. Life will be that the environment must be free of sewer in their homes. They will choose that they must be life, the river must be used for socio-economic rights. That's what we do. We also took a decision. That's why Honorable Mashifa, we must thank him on your behalf. He also assisted us to address the candidates as well. He's a public representative. He was also a public representative at a local level. We're saying to councillors that have done a misstep and behave in a particular way on the basis of job security, but also on the basis of the lack of information, that there will never be any lack of information. That's why Rainwater is reporting all the time. We never only put Rainwater. Our department is also monitoring the work of Rainwater, supporting the municipalities there. With Ms. Damini, that has been assigned to work with them. She reports to the minister every week, but at the very same time, we also get our own independent reports from her. She's not just only a person that is deployed there, but we are very pleased that she's a woman that has a qualification as a professional agent. Therefore, the issues of starting to take care of the seriousness of our work to send the right people that are fit for people is what we do. We have also said that the issues of standard resources of interest, the speakers were there, mayors were there when we met with the premier. They will be brought to book those that are actually not behaving correctly. But we'll also have our ability to do the communication. When it comes to the issues of planning, there are issues of planning that never happen properly around the intervention in the past. I must admit. But after some time, this matter around proper planning and proper safety has been addressed. One of the things that we are very pleased with the department, we have an implementing agent called Rainwater. Rainwater is an international recognized water utility in the world and is one of the best in the continent. It has more than 100 years of experience. Rainwater has the credibility on a recognition, but Rainwater has the capacity. And when you look at the scoping and the plan that is given, it's technically sound. And it's starting to yield the results other than the money that you spent before. But at the very same time, members, you could see when people are presenting as a CEO, there is a work breakdown schedule. The other time we shared the presentation with you, and the presentation you have yourself, it has a grand chart. It tells you in each area of work what will be done, by when, by who, and the timeline. But we do agree that time was lost at a particular point. Honorable Fasoni, thanks for that guidance. I do agree with you. We must always ask ourselves difficult questions about the sustainability of our intervention. One of the things, honorable members, we must know, the authority for water and sanitation in the country lies with national government, the ultimate authority. But at the very same time, in the system of government, other spheres have their role to play. There are these instances, honorable members, when some of these organizations or departments or other spheres are unable to discharge their responsibilities as required by the Constitution and other laws. They are resisting honorable state intervention. They are resisting, and as a department, we are waiting on regulation on how to intervene. Because these people, they always refuse. Some of them, they are refusing on subjective basis. Because they are worried who's going to get the tender. They will have no ability to do the tender than others. While at the same time, they are forgetting that participants have access to water and decent sanitation. We'll look at the matter that he has said, Honorable Fasoni, that when there is transition, it must be transition that has a risk matrix, so that we don't actually have that particular money being dumped on the ground. The very same example you saw in Giani, the water treatment plant that was only functioning for less than 4 months in that particular area in Mopani, yourselves were there. And the way we are guiding us, Honorable Fasoni, we will also even look at how much money we have invested there. Whether the kind of the quantum of money investment and the kind of the asset value, maybe those asset value must remain the property of national government so that we don't have problems, because red water is part of the new vision of reconfiguration of the water board. The minister is on record. All water boards with their capacity and their resources, they are going to be placed at the disposal of municipality. I know that currently in our intervention, we're training them, we're assisting them around O&M, putting all standard operating procedures, issues of revenue and management, issues of debt management and others. But you might put those things, Honorable Fasoni, but they can still relapse and actually collapse. Therefore, I agree with you. We'll go back to the drawing board. The more we do these 1353 interventions, we'll be able to know what we need to tighten so that we don't go back to the student after spending so much money in that particular area. And Honorable Masiko, those other issues are said. These are the systems that are on the ground. We are looking at them. And we are working on the capacity. The leaky experience, as I promised, to be ongoing during surprises or inspections. I was so pleased, Masiko, for the first time. I saw those two young women. They are actually proper scientists, Masiko. Properly trained, and rainwater is supporting them. They are also belong to the Mezi Aniqua, which is that particular entity. That issue of skills transfer, building the capacity, is going very well, but it does not totally remove those risks, leadership, as we have said. We will look at it. But from time to time, we'll come back, report it to yourself, so that this responsibility around to get them to learn, to get Giani and elsewhere to work, is not a responsibility of government alone. It's your responsibility too, and the people of Gauteng and the Indian Valley in particular. I'll stop there, Comrade Chair, with your permission in responding for those issues. Unless before there's a point or two that I might have missed out. Thank you.
Thank you,
I'm covered,
Chair. Thank you.
Nothing from the COO.
Chairperson,
we're done with our responses, but also the point of guidance we got from yourself.
Okay. What I do want to request, from the department and in my office of the chair, we should be in a position to give a status quo report in a small document form, something like your legacy report, Sherine Domani and the staff, with the help from the department. We should have a rapport of what is it that we found, where are we? In the absence of me and you talking to the people can get hold of this progress report. And we can even want to give this to the members of parliament, because the rest of the matter is that we are now starting to do work that is moving forward. But this thing is very introvertly known by ourselves. Even members of parliament does not know where we are. We really talk about it. We really write about it. It is known to us, and it is only us that knows. But nobody else does. So I really do want to ask that our technocrats should create a status quo report where we were in 2019, where we are in 2022, especially in what we are planning to do this December in a chronology order, and we can distribute it to stakeholders for them to know.
We agree, Chair. We would work with your office to on our side, Chair, we do have more for a few days. And we also have Ms. Lamine Liander, she's available. Let's continue to them that the CEO of Rainwater is assigned to the CEO. Let them work on it. One of the things that will insist on our project, or even the reporting team, is to give the geographical location using the GPS. Even yourselves as members of parliament and the people's representatives, you must be able, wherever you drive, and at the whole time, the DG, on the instruction of the minister, is trying to actually get a matrix where all these projects will be available, progress report, but also the geographical location, so that even if you drive around the country, you can be able to do your own observation. Because it's going to be very important that we push delivery from all other sides, so that we don't leave any South African behind, and we don't come and lie to each other here when we meet and say progress has been made. But we speak about things that we have seen. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, what people?
Chairperson?
What is our next item?
It is closing remarks by you, Chairperson.
Oh. I know that we are all going for recess. In the recess, we said that we are asked to do constituency work. We are asked do that, and I think let's use that constituent working to give reports to our communities about the work we are doing. If you look at Minister Mkunu and Deputy Minister Mashobo, 80% of cries by communities in South Africa today is around water. In different forms. When we were in Eastern Cape, there is a bridge we have seen called Chebechebe. It's Chebechebe, isn't it? What is that, the name of that bridge? Is it Chebechebe?
Chebechebe in Alfredsdorf.
Yeah, about myself. People are crossing the bridge with something that is like your... Umchiinko. They cross the river with a dead person with a coffin from one side of the river to the other side of the river is crossing that particular bridge, something that is moving forward as a reference. I know it might be the Department of Roads or whatever, but it is crossing over our water to the river. It's never dead. We really do need, and people raise it as if water is not doing anything. By the rapport I want us to report to write about of the good we are doing. But I can tell you, in South Africa today, the most needy people, yesterday we would have seen, there is a group of Inyanda, of Mkunu, Inyanda, what environmental, what who showed us. And we need to stick close to this reality that I grew up in an area called Dantes, which is we used to drink water and even wash in the same river with cows and everything else. In 19, I am about to be 70, we have been drinking with cows since my birth. But today it is made as if it is the ANC government who does not want to give it to people. It's as if you promote an ANC that today does ever not die. When we used to do washing on the upstream and drink water on the downstream, it does not start today, it is today. The fact that we are trying to change that goal, the success of our work, it is our best energy. Therefore, we need to communicate that which we are doing to heal the balance between that practice and what you want to do tomorrow. But in the absence of us not doing and talking to communities, we will be seen as if we are failing when we are successful. With that in mind, we have come to the end of the meeting. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Don't leave the chair. See you in Cape Town.
Thank you, Mr.